in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money.
Well, okay, Stacks and Jacks, check them out. She is AV on the board, bright eyed and bushy tailed. Right, AV. Hmm? Yes. S&P futures up 23, Dow futures up 214, NASDAQ futures up 80 as the rally continues. We sold off a little bit in the close yesterday, but not very much. And it was a huge update, the exact numbers for those that didn't see it. We're up 48 in the S&P, we're up 407 in the Dow, and we're up 194 in the NASDAQ. Big mover again was Tesla, up like another $100, so it's up to like a million times earnings, and that's really not much of an exaggeration, because they don't really make any money. It's really, really sort of bizarre. They're trading for a lot of these stocks. Apple, not Apple, I mean, if you look at Google, Alphabet at Google, they're trading for 18 times revenue, which is really 2000 crash material. Not that that's going to happen this time, but these things are reaching kind of odd spots. Do we have Mr. Kevin? We do not have Mr. Kevin. All right, well, we'll keep going. We have Nike was up yesterday. It's somewhat interesting. I mean, it's not conclusive by any stretch, but the stocks that are really moving are really stocks that do a lot of stuff in China. And you have to wonder if there isn't somewhat of a connection between the amount of money. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
We're just talking about the stocks that are really moving yesterday, and it's obviously very, very narrow. We had Apple way up. We had Nike way up. We had Microsoft way up, and we had Tesla way up. And if you were to look at the stocks that do the most business really in China, it would be those stocks. So you have to wonder, it's like the immortal words of Deep Throat, follow the money. The money that the Chinese poured into the system last weekend, in some ways, seems to be finding its way into those stocks. It's really...
A good way to test that theory a little bit more, those are the biggies. Are there others that are not so high on the food chain that are really tied into China, and are they, are they thriving similarly?
Well, yes, everybody was up. The only place that was down was Google on the bad earnings. I mean, you were hard-pressed to find another stock that was down.
Right. I guess I'm wondering, the spike. So we could probably find, somebody who manufactures, even something like parts or a distributor, somebody who's in the warehousing business, who just distributes products made in China. It'd just be sort of an interesting exercise to see how significant the impact is.
Well, not the interesting part, almost the crazy part, is I remember back in the 2000 era, Kevin, I was still on the trading floor, and as the Fed continued to pour money into the system before Y2K, and really the tippy top. In my mind, it was always caused by the Fed. They poured money in for the Y2K that turned out to not be needed. But it was in there. It has to go someplace. I mean,
Hey, I was responsible for Y2K at the bank in Wisconsin where I was. So I know how the cash reserves game worked.
Well, yeah. And the weird part is I'm sure that you guys had a big to-do on Y2K in a bank, but you have no idea what it was.
Are you kidding? I got audited by the feds every couple of months on Y2K software remediation and contingency plans and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
the
thing of it is, though, that the Fed pretty much didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Because if you were talking about a trading floor, there were more phone lines on the trading on the CBOE floor than in a small city. And every single phone had chips in it that had been programmed to do something. But usually phones, I'm telling you something, you know more than me, phones have their chip in there, but they're not a chip that's designed for, they might have been originally designed for like a computer, it was a second. So you couldn't use it for a computer, so they dump them into phones. So it's almost like a fabric, if the fabric is a bad run, you stuff it in a sleeping bag instead of making shirts out of it, right? But it's perfectly good for sleeping bags. So the amount of chips of any kind of computer-type thing on a trading floor, people thought was in the millions. Every machine, every phone. And you, And in those days, the code, whatever, every fifth line was a date or something, or every seventh line is what the guys used to tell me, was a date or something.
Well, it depends on the application, but yeah, there were a lot of dates coded in there.
And, you know, here's a good one for you. We'll talk about a blast from the past. You know what the trading matchup system, the original, I doubt if they still use it, but maybe they do because they just hung all kinds of stuff around it. The original trade match system on the CBOE, they, quote, stole or bought. You can be the only person on earth that can answer this question from guess who?
Oh, I couldn't begin to guess who.
Back in the day, there were the first big matchup system. Was the United Airlines reservation system.
Right? Oh, yeah, the airline, ACP, Airline Control Program, yep.
And,
that was the, yeah, it was essentially, it was almost like an operating system as well as an application. But, yeah, a lot of people used the ACP because were the ones who were handling volume reservations at the time.
Well, matching people to their spot in the plane is very similar to matching your and my trade we did together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the
I spent a brief time at a finance company that used the control program, airline program.
Really?
So, United, very aware. Yep.
Did United sell it to all these people, or did people just take it?
Oh yeah, you'd license it. Yep, you bet.
Okay. Who put it together for United?
I'm sure United's own coders did. Sort of, a little like the. Amazon Web Services that are being sold now was put together by Amazon to support its own business model, and when they realized they had something that others would pay to use, then they turned around and started marketing it for the masses.
Well, only makes sense.
It's become a whole business of its own.
Well, it makes sense. Right? I mean, why not?
Yeah, hey, it's a vertical markets expansion. Pretty standard strategy thing.
Well, for years and years, it probably ended where you could tell if somebody was somewhat of a Luddite. I'm going to say 96, 97. The question always was, how many contracts a day can our system handle? And that was always you'd say, okay, what if it gets real busy like on Friday? Well, how many contracts per day or how many trades could the CBOE system handle? And all of a sudden that became a total anachronism because it could handle infinite number of trades really. That had nothing to do with it. It had to do with how many quotes you sent out. Because as you started to get more and more strikes, weeklies, as you started to get more and more quotes, some stocks in the index might have 1,000 quotes. And if you have you're updating those things every, you know, second and a half or 2 seconds or something, that was the information that became the strangle, not the amount of trades or matching trades at all. It wasn't even close.
Yep.
As a matter of fact...
Well, and the brilliance of that system was that it could handle volume because, if you remember, the big constraint at the time in computing wasn't whether we could write the software to do it. It was whether we had available and could afford the computing power that goes with it. And that... In those days, storage, a 10 meg disk drive might cost you $8,000 to $10,000. Now, a gigabyte thumb drive is, $50?
Well, when I started, a lot of the stocks, not all, there were a few stocks that were high, Teledyne and a few others, but most of the stocks are like $30, $35, say. And you only had options every 3 months. And generally, well, the 30s are in the money, right? The 35s are at the money, and the 40s are like hopelessly out of the money. They're trading an eighth a quarter type of thing. So if the stock moved enough, somebody in the crowd would say, hey, make the 35s, quarter, half, instead of even to a quarter, that type of thing. So these were all manually updated by people. And all of a sudden, you got more and more and more to the point where you needed a, quote, auto-quote system to where people would just set the volatility every time the stock moved. But your buddy, Blair Hull, remember when he ran for Senate? I think it was Senate he ran for, but then Obama ended up winning that spot. He decided he wanted his own auto quote instead of the CBOE. And he was a DPM in like, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 8 stocks. I don't know. So he puts his own auto quote in. And guess what happens, Kevin?
Tell me.
The entire system crashes. Now, people would ask, why the hell would the entire system crash on one guy throwing on like 8 or 9 stocks, or maybe it was 10? Well, he forgot in his system. The CBOE auto quote would check, I think every second it would check the levels, and it'd move the levels if needed. But what I just said there was very important. It would check and see what, say the market was eighth to a quarter, and the new market was, whatever, eighth to a quarter. It would check to see if it was the same number. And if it didn't, it wouldn't update. Where Blair Hall's updated everything. So it was an eighth a quarter. Every second, he made it a new eighth a quarter. And without the pause saying, am I really changing something or not, he was pounding out God knows how many new quotes that weren't even new quotes every second. Where everybody else, most of the time, you looked at it, and the only ones you have to change is like 10 out of the 1,000. The rest of them are okay, you know, type of thing. But his didn't do that, so he brought the entire system down for the place.
Wow.
They're like, what the hell did he do? And then they had to shut his stuff off, obviously. And then it wasn't for like a couple of days. They go, you mean you didn't put a, there's got to be a term that you know that I don't. You look to see if it's the same number before you change it.
Yeah, it's pretty standard validation stuff. But programmers goof up. You're supposed to catch it in the testing. And this is kind of, segues into Iowa a little bit and what's going on there. That people in some of my classes will tell you that they have heard, at least 20 times this semester so far, is that when you're dealing with software and you're implementing, you have to ask, two big questions. How do I know we're okay? always the first one. And part two is, what do I do if we're not? Can I back out the changes and fall back to the old system, or is there a manual process or so on, whatever. And as you look at Iowa, they could not handle reverting to the old system. They didn't, for instance, they couldn't mobilize enough people to take the phone calls, which was the old method of calling in results. They couldn't mobilize enough people to do it. There's a really funny video out there where Wolf Blitzer is talking to some guy who is on hold from the call-in center. And so the guy said he's been on hold for over an hour, and he's got one cell phone in his hand, and then he's talking to Wolf Blitzer, and finally someone comes on. The guy says, "Oh, okay, they're here. I got to go." And Blitzer kept asking him a couple of questions, and can we sit in? And so the guy took about 20 seconds to respond to the call center. And so when he went back and said, "Okay, my name is," and nobody was on the line, they had hung up on him.
God. Well, did you see this thing about...
And this was all live on CNN, which was, which just made it funny. If Blitzer would have said, go, and can you leave us on, that probably would have been fine. But, they didn't deal with it well. Neither one of them dealt with it well.
Well, just when we were getting comfortable that we didn't have to deal with the off-again, on-again trade deal that was moving the market like every day or twice a day, I get a load of this. Did you read this article from, it's not the article. This is the news. This is it's kind of a blog here. This is about first of all, somebody out of China said that they had an effective drug to treat. A research team at Zhejiang University had found an effective drug to treat people with the new, coronavirus. And of course, some people are saying that was one of the reasons the stocks were way up yesterday. So then, we were down last night before the, during the speech. I mean, we were down 5 or 6 last night. Now, of course, we're up 24. Now that the World Health Organization came out and said, there is no known effective treatment for this drug. Basically, don't believe any of that crap, right? Spokesman for the World Health Organization has said there are no known effective therapeutics. Then about 2 hours later, this guy from London, Sky News, who's Sky News? Is that London?
That's Fox News in England.
Sky News reported Wednesday that a scientist from Imperial College London had made a significant breakthrough in a race to develop a vaccine. The vaccine is thought to be able to reduce the development time from 2 to 3 years to just 14 days. That's a lot. So you'd have a vaccine in 14 days. That'd be a new world record, I think. But it'd be nice. But these are the news bits that are affecting the market and everything else. So I mean, the news just keeps on coming. So I don't know if any of those are fake or what they are, Kevin.
It's kind of crazy that the market. You know, I know it does, and I know that this isn't new, but the reaction to every utterance just seems to me to be a bit much. Let's put it that way.
Well, I won't do it again today, but one of these days, the difference in the fabric of the market now and 30 years ago is dramatic. I mean, there are very few standing orders. The specialists do not have, quote, a book like they used to have. There's a few standing orders, and there are specialists. They don't do anything during the day because every preference is every trade during the day. So you try and go around the specialist book. So there's no reason for you or I to put a standing order in, really. I mean, unless it's a stone cold. I mean, we know how, you know, a shameless plug for me and my guys here at PTI. We know how to use this to our advantage. If all of a sudden there's it's very difficult to trade in a certain area, a certain stock, we'll put stuff in at a price we never dream we'll get. But this is on closing transactions where you think you have a winner. And all of a sudden, we'll get filled once in a while just because we're the only thing out there, Kevin. I mean, when the New York Stock Exchange, they're the only place where you can have a legitimate opening or close, really. And so everybody does the opening there, and then all the rest of the trades, you can leave the New York Stock Exchange and, I mean, you can go to lunch, you can go have a girlfriend, you can do whatever you want. Because during the day, everybody preferences trades away from there. And if anybody's offered it at $100 on an IBM and the New York Stock Exchange, the thing's going to trade at $99,999 other places, as the poor guy with the $100 never gets taken. I mean, how professionals and trade preferencers can trade on markets that other people can't match. Whoever let that go through on the SEC side, I don't know what manner of moron the person is. I mean, That's the reason for all this preferencing and all, you know. Nobody should be able to trade within the penny, in my opinion. Anyway, that's another. So,
I'm with you on that. I think the morons who let it go through, I think the people who review it just don't understand it, and that it's kind of a shame. But that, you know, I used to run into that a lot in banking days. Where I'd get the regulators, and they just didn't quite understand it. They were reading, you know, they had a book, they had guidelines, so they had the questions that they had to ask, but they did not, you know, they couldn't drill in any further on it. And so, you know, I remember you go back to Y2K. One of the big concerns at the time was the whole 9999 thing, September 9, 1999, and would that crash it? And without getting into too detailed an explanation, one of the things that in some of the older programs you used to do, because it was easier than how you'd check to see if you were at the end of the file, was to just put a record of all nines at the end of the on the last record on the file. And so when you'd read a record, you would say, read the next record. Is it nines? If it's all nines, okay, do my wrap up and shut down the program, move on to whatever the next step in the job flow was. And so they wanted everybody to test on 9999 if testing for a nines record would be a problem. And so I had to sit them down and draw out how this worked. That first of all, nobody checked a date field to see if it was all nines. They checked, you know, the whole record. If it was, 200 characters, they checked for 200 nines. But aside from that, the other problem that they had with it is if you were storing the date, it was 090999. So I told them, no, I'm not wasting my time testing on this. You'll have to give me a cease and desist order to get me to do it.
Well, my point there is that
so my point being that they come in and ask about this and they want to test and the point is they didn't understand it. They didn't know what they were asking. And I think you run into that with regulators a lot, that you get a lot of young people, a lot of rookies, trying to learn the ropes, and they're the ones who come in and do the evaluations and make the recommendations, and that's just not a good thing.
Well, the people that I ran into when I used to do the dinners when I was on the board of the SIBO, you'd bump into the CFTC governors and or the SEC governors, and there were some people in the SEC who were somewhat bright. I mean, when I say bright, they're all bright. It's not the point, but they...
Well, yeah, they're inexperienced.
They were one of the two people.
They either haven't lived in your world, or in many cases that you get them and they're just out of school.
Well, and some of
it's
them...
It's not that they haven't lived in there. They haven't lived in any world other than what they're doing.
They would... most all of them were former clerks. Tom Daschle had like two or three of his people. He was like the Andy Reid tree of coaching, because he must have been the head of the Agriculture Committee or something. So his clerks, some of them ended up as CFTC governors, even though they had never worked for the Board of Trade, they had never traded, they never done anything like that. But they had been clerks. I mean, that's, you know, that was the big bitch in my mind. One of them about the latest judge. I mean, the guy's entire life was. Or not just him. I mean, the guy who was the Treasury Secretary that we just got rid of. It was 2008. What's his name? The guy before. He wrote the book about every time he screwed up in school, his dad would get him a job, like he would even a bigger, as a clerk for like a bigger judge or somebody during the summer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. No, I don't remember the name.
He was Obama's guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Transportation? I don't know.
No, not transportation. Secretary of the Treasury. I'll think of it, or I'll look it up.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Gosh, I can't
anyway,
remember
but,
his name.
But you have to be somewhat careful, because after Y2K, and the thing didn't blow up, the Fed started pulling some of that money out. So it's
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not
yeah, you know, you didn't want to carry all that cash. You didn't want to be tied up in the assets. So the banks had to start giving it all back. You know, we all accumulated cash. So that if customers came in a tizzy, we could at least direct them to the one branch that we stocked with cash, or one of the satellite branches. We did, you know, we went through that whole plan, and yeah, we went to give it back. We said, okay, come and get your money. We don't need it anymore. And the Fed's sitting there saying, well, what am I going to do with this?
Well, because when you saw it, it was not a surprise that the top in the market was in like March or April of 2000. Because there's a lag time to all this. Now, I put this out there as a tone of caution, because you're never going to get me to say I can pick the day or whatever, but I will say that this what's going on in the market now is not all that surprising to me, given what the Fed has done in the last 4 or 5 months, ever since Powell went to the White House and either got paddled or waterboarded, whatever happened to him there, and he started pouring money into the system to shove these assets up. Now, what Trump said to the guy there, I have no idea, but somehow or another, the entire strategy changed. Well, unbeknownst to everybody, even though the talking heads will tell you the Fed is on the sidelines, they were pouring money in to beat the ban like 5-6 weeks ago. But now I looked at the numbers this week. The last 3 weeks now, they have stopped. The balance sheet has stopped going up. And the money supply growth has dropped from pushing 11 to 10.9, 11, 11, 1, back down to 7.6. So which is still expansionary. But it's way less expansionary than it was 3-4 weeks ago. So if you look at just their numbers as driving this whole mess in the market, sloppily, but really for the last 35 years that I've been watching it, you probably are looking for somewhat of a pause in the rally in the next, however many weeks. So, be careful how many more days like yesterday you think are coming by. The S&P futures still up 24. We will be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV on the board. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Giving us the word on how these computer systems worked and how they did work. I can't imagine a guy as young as Kevin knows what happened in Y2K, but he seems to have. S&P futures up 24.25. NASDAQ futures up 84 to up 229. Again, we were down last night.
Hello there, Thomas.
I'm here.
I lost your sound for a minute.
I blame AV. Just saying.
Yeah, ever since AV.
Everybody's, when you're the producer, everything goes well. Even if it's not your fault, you get credit for it. And if it doesn't, it's the other way around. It's just the way that works. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 164, 1.2%. FTSE up 43.5%. CAC around up 52. Make that 8.89%. Over in Asia, Nikkei 234. These guys are trying to bounce back. They were down mostly all last week. That's a 1%. Shanghai up 34. That's another 1%. They're still only, I'm going to say, a third of the way back from the down move on Monday. So they were down 7.7. They were up 2 yesterday, 1 today. I'll make that 40% of the way back. Hang Seng up 110, but it's 0.4%. Bonds were back to 1.63 here in the U.S., so that's up from the 1.52 we got down to in the midst of the sell-off. Bund minus 0.37, so that's to the upside as well. Japan minus 0.02 now, so making another run back at break-even, or even interest rate, not break even. Oil up $1.24, 50.85. So careful with that. It's up $1.24, but it's still lower than we talked about yesterday. Brent 55.32. Natural gas 184. RBAB 147. Wow. Gold up $1.80, 15.57. Silver up 2 cents. AV, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning. 29 degrees currently in Chicago. Overcast skies will stay throughout the day. We're expecting snow starting this afternoon around 3, and it will intensify through the evening and continue overnight. Snow accumulating 3 up to 5 inches. The temperature will stay steady 30 degrees during the day and will drop to 28 at night. 36 degrees in Phoenix this morning. Mix of clouds and sun during the day. Towards the night, the skies should clear out. Light winds variable at night. The high of the day will be 57 and the low is 36. We have slight delays in Chicago area due to one accident on Eisenhower West before Cicero. Expected delays up to 5 minutes. Also due to the long-term construction on Eisenhower West and Kennedy Interchange from Randolph down to 31st Street. Expected delays 5 to 10 minutes. And in sports, we have Blackhawks that lost to Minnesota Wild 2-3.
They picked up a point. If you tie in regulation, at least you get a point out of it, Kevin. It's a little, you'd like to get the two, but one's better than Zippo, eh?
It certainly is.
So, what did you make of the State of the Union? You know, you can take any one of these guys on either side of the aisle and put them up there, and it's the motherhood's never been as good as when I was president. You know, I mean, it's like, what are they even talking about when they get up there? I mean, just one thing after another, and one side applauds, the other side doesn't, and it's, so talk about a choreographed piece of nothing, whatever. Just me.
It was fine for what it was, you know. But I fell asleep during part of it, and then woke up and listened to a little more. I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was the greatest thing I ever heard either. It played to the supporters. It tried to, it was a campaign speech. So, you know, what'd you expect?
I just, maybe it's as you've been around the block a few more times, like you and I are starting to get to be, but I'm going to say that, this is the part that obviously is my political theme, at least lately, is everybody continues to be buffeted one way or the other by the BS and all this stuff. I'm going to say that you could probably put, starting with maybe not Clinton, because it, I don't know if it was that big of a deal back then, but maybe the end of Clinton's era, every single one of these things, there's a line in there regarding drug prices. And every single year they go up. At some point, even the dumbest among us, which I could be, do you have to stop listening to these people, or do you realize they're just plain flat out lying to you?
Hey, you know what? If we get a president who really does something about drug prices, I think number 5 on Mount Rushmore would be the appropriate response. Yeah,
absolutely, but I mean, what do they keep talking about? They've done Bush did nothing. Obama did nothing. I mean, all he did was
I will say this: I think it's just kind of the trimming around the edges thing. But in Trump's defense, he actually has tried to do some things, and they have a bill that takes
effect.
That has to do with some more transparency on pricing and such. I don't think it's going to make much difference, but you know, at least there is some kind of activity there. Because yes, as you say, nobody else even did anything.
Well, Obama tried to do it. He lost control of it and ended up being worse. Bush sort of ignored it. Clinton ignored it after, you know, people didn't like Hillary's solution, then he didn't do anything for the next 7 years, right? The thing that gets, you get a little more impatient as you get older, Kevin. At least I do.
I don't. I get more amused.
Well, that's, when I say impatient, it's not personally impatient. Okay, but when you see things getting worse and worse and worse, you know, it's one thing that in the middle of a drought, we talk ad nauseum about, maybe we should have, a dike in the river should be a little higher or a little stronger or something. And maybe if we have a meeting next month or next year and we talk about it and we raise up some money and we put it on the docket for, where are we, 2020, we say we're going to start construction in 2021. You know, it sort of might be okay. Okay, because there's a pace to everything, I get that. But now we're talking about people have bought these generic drug companies, and some of the stuff people have reported to me this year, because it's now, well, it's February, but was just January. First time people went and got their prescriptions in New Year. I'm hearing people telling me, Kevin, 20, 25, 30% increase across the board. So at this stage, it's not about putting a half-assed bill into Congress next year about maybe having the hospitals be a little more competitive on their pricing with a $300 fine if they don't. It's the amount of water. It's like now we're talking about the flood is here. It's not a time to schedule a meeting next week. The normal pace of government with the amount of money that's flying out of people's pockets toward these people, it's not appropriate here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is worse than a war for these people. I mean, right? I mean, this is something that is not about, we'll think about it this year, or it's a platitude. The next Congress, if you give me a few more Republicans, or the other guys will say, if you give me a few more Democrats, we'll work on this issue. We're way beyond that, Kevin. I mean, the water is coming over the dike for people that are buying or getting their prescriptions. This needs to happen, like, tomorrow, in my mind.
Yeah, well, it's not gonna.
It's not gonna.
What do you think of the Speaker Pelosi's little stunt at the end?
Well, she didn't need it anymore.
Huh? Well, I guess she didn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my reaction to that is, you know, I don't care, but nothing says we'll be the party that will govern like grown-ups better than a little hissy fit. You know, there's just nothing better than that.
Well, I
don't know what she's doing. That just says, you know, I can be as much the petulant child as the guy who's there.
Well, I was forced to watch it. I don't know what the occasion was a couple of weeks ago. It was some foreign guy in or something. She talked for an hour. It must have been when the impeachment things were walking across the street. She talked for an hour about God knows what. I mean, I thought she was either drunk or something was happening. I mean, I don't know what planet she was from. And we switched from her to Trump going off on one of his extraneous 1.5 hour things about all the stuff, the good stuff he's done, and it's the strongest economy ever, and he's done more jobs. Kevin, all you do is look at the jobs number. They're exact same as maybe they're a little less than Obama. I'm not saying it's not a good job. I'm not.
Yeah, well, and I think the mix of jobs is a little bit different, but yeah, you're right.
But what I'm saying is that
fewer of them are like jobs, and you also have to remember that during the Obama years, we had Obamacare forcing companies to hire people and limit them to, you know, less than 30 hours. So many people were working part-time that we were double-counting, one person taking two jobs.
Well, the point I'm making...
And we're not doing that anymore. There is not nearly as much...
You might actually dig through and find...
You know, dual job as there.
I'll guarantee you one thing.
You're right that the gross numbers are the same, but you have to drill down a little bit.
Okay.
And understand that it has changed since the employer mandate.
I got news for you. Trump doesn't drill anywhere. He says whatever he feels like saying, whether it's right or wrong, as long as it's good for him.
Yeah, well, I'm not Trump, so I'm telling you what I'm telling you.
Well, they're not. What I'm saying is if you look at these numbers, our buddy Carl has taught me, you can't tell where one guy becomes president and the other one doesn't. Usually in virtually every case.
I understand that.
I'm
telling you that if you start asking questions about the numbers, one of the things that you will see is that more of the jobs that are created now are full-time jobs than were before.
And they're virtually
all... So if you're just looking at the count of jobs created, yeah, you're definitely not going to see much of a difference.
If you look at the count of
full-time jobs created, you
where
will
you
see
getting
a difference.
At? Well, virtually all the full-time jobs are in the health industry, which is not productive.
No, a lot of the full-time jobs are in the health industry, but there are more manufacturing jobs now than there were at the time.
There are, the last 4 months, we've lost manufacturing jobs.
Yeah, and there's still more than there were.
Well, okay, well, there's more people, right? We had 200,000 people.
But you got to remember that the last president said those jobs aren't coming back at all.
We don't know if they're coming back or they're just happening here.
Well, his message was that they're going to continue to erode.
And I'm not so sure they haven't.
I'm pretty sure they haven't.
All right, well, my point is you can do whatever you want, but he comes on, and he talks, and he's just as blithering as she is. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying is if her message is, you know, if that party's message is going to be we aren't going to be the petulant children, like our current president is, that's sure a bad way to do it.
I'm hoping that she is not the leader of the other party much longer either.
Well, I'm hoping not too. Look, the guy right now, the guy with the right message, I think, is Bloomberg. I don't know if it's going to stay that way, and I don't know how much traction he's going to get. But he's the one who's saying, first of all, I can work with both sides. That's a good thing. But part two is And here's what I think the most important thing that he is saying in so many of his commercials is, I can eliminate the chaos.
Okay.
And in that that part of the message, you get people who will vote for Trump because there is no way on earth that they will vote for an Elizabeth Warren or a Bernie Sanders. But if you give that, but they also don't like him very much and really abhor the chaos, even if they love his policies, they hate the chaos that the man creates. And I think that's a winning message with a lot of voters, and that's not the message that Speaker Pelosi gave us last night.
As you well know, I would love to see Bloomberg do well. I think he's obviously a brilliant man. Well, business-wise he is, and he did a nice job in New York, which is, I think, in general, a nice job, although I'm sure there was bad things there, too. But running the city like
and
that.
There's things, areas where I disagree with him.
Oh, me too.
But I don't think he's the Antichrist.
But I will say this. Right now, and I'll make this prediction, Kevin. I mean, of course, once in a while I'm even right. Make this position. His current campaign is a loser. The idea that you're above Iowa, you're above New Hampshire, you're above talking to any of the people, you're going to spend $1 billion, and people, all the people know is he's a rich businessman that has some system that charged people $2,000 a month when it was outrageous, and he picked up on streams from other people and basically sold other people's information. Okay.
Yeah, I get that, and yeah. Tom, and I won't argue with you. I think part of the reason that he avoided Iowa and New Hampshire is he got in late. He got in too late to get involved.
Okay,
in that.
Well, I'm saying everybody I've talked
So like it or not, you know, he's a late entrant, and that's why I said I don't know if he'll ever get any traction, because late entrants typically don't.
I've talked to 10 people regarding Michael Bloomberg. Every single one said, I see all these ads. Who is he? He's not talking to me. I don't even know who he is. I wouldn't pick him.
That's Steyer.
Well, I mean, no, I mean Steyer. I've seen him on CNBC 10 times. I haven't seen Bloomberg. Steyer's trying to get on. I mean, my point being is you
probably get Bloomberg on Bloomberg TV.
No, actually, Dan watches Bloomberg. I watch the CNBC, but I'll switch back and forth. But my point is, at some point, the American electoral system, as bizarre as it is designed to make people meet as many Americans as possible over a 6-month period, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's opted out of that. There might be a very good reasons for it, but he's not going to get anywhere with just commercials. I'm telling you that.
I agree with you. That's why I said I don't know if he's going to get any traction. I don't know how the strategy is going to change. You see Trump trying to goad him into a pissing contest. And I don't know if he's going to bite on that or not. I don't think it would be wise to do that. It's the old... Never wrestle with a pig. How's that go? Never wrestle with a pig because you're just going to get muddy and the pig likes it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If as you know, I'm one of the most nonviolent dudes on earth, but if I ever debated Trump, you'd have to cut that off. My south side would have to say, you know, Donald, I'm not going to stand here and you tell me this part of my body's small or that small. If you want to take the jackets off and go in the back room, leave the Secret Service here, let's just do it. Don't just hide behind your people and insult me. I would have to say that to the man. I'm just saying that. I mean,
well, Joe Biden said he could beat him up.
Well, I'm just saying, right to his face, shut the bleep up or let's go do it. Let's just go do it. I mean, that obviously has never happened to the man, and look what we got. I'll hide behind everybody and insult people on a stage. That's interesting, but that's not where you and I grew up.
Yep. So, I circle back to the point I was making before. There's going to be a lot of people who are saying, "Great, great speaker, Madam Speaker. I'm glad you gave him the virtual finger," but I don't think that's a winning move. I don't think it's a winning move at all. I think it's a stupid move, and it just tells you that Trump has taken up full residence in her head.
Well, that's possible. There becomes a time when you do get tired of somebody insulting him. I don't think Bloomberg needs to hear how short he is from him.
I know, and that's I am convinced that's Trump just trying to goad him into it. I think Trump would like to get him off of the high road.
I'm just stunned that and this is the weird part of the have on this whole thing. The I'll sit down with my, you know, my Fed guys like it was last night. A good group. And you'll say, they'll say, well, Trump's doing this for this. He's doing this for that. I said, if I ever came over here to have a drink and sat down and said, by the way, you're looking a little fat tonight. And you are a little short. You know, or, boy, that beard looks like crap. Do you?
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Well,
I'm
saying,
all the time.
Would I be welcome here? The answer is no. So why do you make excuses for your president doing it? I have a real problem with that, Kevin. I always will. I mean, it's just me, and I'm not asking other people to think like me. I have a problem with that.
Right, well, but we weren't just talking about the president directly. We were talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Well, but now if she's going to fall into that,
so now you know, are we going to make excuses for her instead?
I'm saying that he has managed to drag an awful lot of people into the gutter with him. And you're right. You should not do that. But it's not like who was I was talking to one of my Republican friends last week, and don't take that wrong, but he was saying about Trump is a counterpuncher. What do you mean he's a counterpuncher? Name one of those debates where the first insult came from the other person that he counterpunched. Every single one came from him first. Every single one. So how is that a counterpuncher? Counterpuncher is you take a swing at somebody, he blocks the blow, and he comes back and nails you. There's right?
Yeah. So?
I'm saying, but now
we know who he is. The point I'm trying to make, Tom, is that if you're going that the party wants to be the we're not Trump.
I get that.
You know, it's the orange man's bad, and we need to, and we're not him, and we'll be better. And you don't make that case doing what Speaker Pelosi did.
Kevin, we could go into. I don't know why I'm defending the Democrats, because I'm not one anymore. I guess I used to be. There is no question that the entire mess of, what was the lady's name who ran the DNC in the last election?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
That whole Wasserman Schultz.
Until they fired her.
Pelosi, people whose computers are not very good. Nobody on earth would ever send money to the Democratic National Committee, where people will send it to the Republican National Committee. They at least have some things that they believe in. Right, Democratic National Committee, they'll roll with whoever the candidate happens to be. I mean, that whole group has got to go for the party to move forward. You don't think I know that?
Oh yeah, which yeah. Sort of leads us in the closing minutes here to Iowa.
Yeah,
and the stuff we're now hearing from the Sanders campaign. I, this is where I think the Democrats really have a problem. Is they're not going to win if Sanders wins the nomination, and they're not going to win if Sanders doesn't win the nomination. Unless the Sanders supporters feel like somebody beat him fair and square. But right now they're looking at Iowa, and you know they're saying we're getting screwed here by this whole debacle, and you know you may call them conspiracy theorists or whatever you want, but it's kind of grounded in 2016. And how the DNC worked against him. So now you have a situation where, you know, the software company Shadow Inc. is owned by Acronym. Acronym is run by let me see if I can remember Tara McGowan. And Tara McGowan's husband's a senior advisor to Buttigieg.
And
so now you've got the Bernie people. You know, they're not calling Mayor Pete. They're calling him Mayor Cheat.
Well, it's
just chaotic for them. Once again, you know, this is the party that's going to eliminate the chaos. I don't think so.
Well, the whole Washington morass between one side of the aisle, the other—they're all picking the pocket of the people. That's why they're there.
Yep.
I mean,
but what I'm saying is, you know, from the standpoint, you can say, you know, situation normal, okay. You can say all of that stuff, but what I'm telling you is that if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination, and all of his supporters feel like the DNC screwed him again, then they're not going to turn out vote for the candidate.
I will say right out, we have Bernie's supporters here, and Maddie probably is one. He's not here today. Why should the Democratic Party do anything for him? He's not a Democrat.
No, he's not, but he's caucused with the Democrats all these years and voted with them, so they didn't mind having him having his vote.
Right, but you know, I'm getting
In the win column time after time.
I'm getting very weary kind of about a lot of stuff, let's put it this way. one of them, and I'll get a thing every day from some right-wing, you know, friend, you know, because I have a lot of them, in this constant stream of crap to where, well, gee, Kevin O'Neill got this great new job, which, by the way, I was more than happy to give you a recommendation for him, would on any day, you know that. Great new job, but his brother Tim is married to, you know, whatever, I'm not going to play anybody's name. His brother Tim is married to what's or some, and she, by the way, her son, their son went to school at wherever he went, and his roommate was this guy, and he's the son of somebody. And so this long contrivance, and that guy's dad's cousin owns this, you know, software company that does work for the Democratic Party, so they're all crooks. I'm like, what did you just do? I mean,
We aren't that far. First of all, we aren't that far removed. Second of all, I'm not advocating that. I think this whole thing is just garden variety incompetence. So, you know, that's what I meant. I'm just telling you what the Sanders supporters are out there saying.
Well, I have a real question for you.
And that's, you know, I think that's a real problem now for the Democrats.
Sure.
They don't have any faith from the Sanders side in the first place. And now you get a debacle like this, and somebody who was polling up several points is now, it's looking like he's going to be about a break even.
Kevin,
how
could that man, I'm going to ask
judge.
You, what is
so any... you get the idea. This is going to be their point of view for quite a while.
I'll tell you this. Whenever I see Bernie growing up in the polls, I say BS. How does that guy, what does anybody see in him? Anybody?
Well, if he doesn't win Iowa, he's going to finish a very close second. So you can call BS all you want, but he's performed well in the caucus.
I know that an amazing amount of young people love the guy because he hurls stuff. But I'm saying I want to see somebody very competent that can take the reins and knows where the numbers are and can actually talk to both sides and can turn some of this bus around. The idea that we could actually have a debate about the economy without realizing that 80% of it is in 20 different either monopolies or duopolies. Bernie, the guy can't add. I mean, when you get up there and say, in my business, we're talking about brokerage going to free at some places, and he's going to say,
well, Tommy can't add, but he sure can tally.
Well, okay. But what I'm saying, and what this whole concept, the only way we're gonna get out of this mess, Republican or Democrat, because they're both right where they are, the whole contest is to make the people who don't agree with you pay for the things you want. And we're way past that stage, Kevin. We can't get the blood out of a turnip. There's no more that you can get out of the family making 50 grand a year. You've got them on every side. So whether you decide to screw them up for 100 hours of stock trade or 200 hours to pay for this, or the Republicans want to do this and make the guys their 50 grand, you know, make them pay for their own insurance, which they can't. You can do whatever you want, but the people are tapped out. So
let's, because you're going to chase me out of here in about 30 seconds, just a summary comment then, and probably a good title for today's show. We're so screwed.
Well, yeah. I mean, some parts of the society, that's why we had the big debate last week about the border situation. It's not the law. It's not Trump's right to do it. What it says to me is a total lack of knowledge of the status of your populace.
Well, what it says to me is, you know, darn it, stop talking about it and get to work
right
on, you know, on the correct legislation that achieves the goals we want to achieve. And so that's a quick pivot immigration if you want to talk more about
it. No,
Friday.
I'm just saying.
I'll be calling in from the road on Friday on my way to Indianapolis, but we can talk about
that. Well, the other thing is, you know, what is the timing? In the midst of the speech last night and people talking about it this morning, there's people right now walking into the CVS and Walgreens and finding their drugs up 20% from last year, and it's never going to change, Kevin, except for somebody taking 30 seconds out of your and my time last night saying how hard they're working on it, which is all BS. Just saying, you know, unfortunately.
Yes, but it's high quality BS.
High quality BS. All right, buddy. Drive safe. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures up 2250. NASDAQ Futures up 77. Be right back with Mr. Russell Rhodes in the house.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional floor traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. I'm pleased to announce that I'm now on the premises of PTI Securities and Futures as a research analyst and a securities and futures trader. I am now offering two of our daily newsletters, the Daily News Report and our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, both emailed daily to subscribers before the market opens. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. You can call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks.
Elizabeth Warren gets off to her private plane in New Hampshire, and the second she sees a camera, she ducks behind two staffers so you can't see her.
Oh, God.
It's really...
Do you have a private plane?
Who, me? I used to fly on a private plane a lot, and I don't anymore. I was working at a hedge fund, and we go back and forth to New York every week on a private plane, And then I quit, and I ended up working for a shitty firm in Kansas where I had to go back and forth on Southwest every week. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
Well, were you at least eight personnel?
What?
Were you at least eight personnel?
Was I?
You were enough of a Southwest flyer that you were always an A guy?
Yeah, but still, you know, it was going from one to the other.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, Southwest is, back in the day, they were, when they had just, you know, one of my clients from the early 90s, still to this day, probably my biggest client. I want to say one of the big, huge families in Chicago was our biggest client. But anyway, this guy had, you know, millions upon millions of bucks. And he always flew Southwest, no matter what, because he loved it, because the prices were cheaper, and he loved the fact that when they used to have the 737, like 200 model and 300. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those things could make it from Chicago to like L.A. without a stop. So you're always stopping. And when you stop, the guy would drive like 70 miles an hour, it seems, to the gate, and you hear a big screech in front of the gate. They'd get people off, get people on, and nobody's even seated, and the guy's backing up.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't care if you had your seatbelt on. And the lady's like, we're already moving. Would everybody please sit down?
It's like a bus.
It's like a bus. And but you know what? The girls were all singing, and they all loved it, and everybody was having a good time. And, you know, it was all right. I mean, as long as you weren't, you know, going, it was totally inappropriate to go somewhere in a suit to come back in a suit. I mean, but if you were going on vacation, you know, in a T-shirt and a pair of jeans, you were fine. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, so do you think there's enough to talk about? Now, we thought, Russell, foolishly, that when we signed this trade deal, such as it is, nobody cares what it was, as long as we stopped doing every single day, we got a deal, not a deal. In the last 24 hours, we're doing the same thing with a cure in this thing. There was somebody came out from China and said they had a cure.
Of course they do.
Yeah, and then the World Health Organization said there is no cure.
They also said it was not a pandemic, even though it is defined, even though if you look up the definition of a pandemic, it's basically something that has spread to other regions.
Okay, well.
So it is a pandemic. So, we just can't believe anybody.
No. Well, then now somebody comes out from London
uh-huh.
and says that they are going to have a virus in not 1 to 2 years, but 14 days. I mean, not a virus, a
cure.
Vaccine.
Yeah.
Vaccine is not a cure. We'll try and be correct on the show.
It's a preventative.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But it's as good as a cure if you get it early enough, I guess.
Well, my understanding is that I heard this, you know, through a person that the two people that have it would commute on the red line every day. So avoid the red line.
According to my chart here.
Yeah.
This thing is not. Where did I read this? God, last Saturday I was digging through all this
it's
stuff.
It's not airborne. You got to touch something.
For whatever reason, it drops. It doesn't hang in the air. It's not. Mm-hmm. There's some droplets, like from your mouth and stuff, that actually can. They'll sink. Okay.
Uh huh.
But measles, for some reason, it's so light, it hangs in the air.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the red line. In other words, you might. If somebody touched the car with measles on the red line 4 days ago, you might still be worried. I don't think
right.
you are with this.
Well, and that's apparently this one is supposedly somewhat like that. So the masks don't do you any good. Gotta wash your hands.
Well,
wash your hands.
The mask would do you good, but if you touch your hand to your eye, the mask don't do you any good.
No, it doesn't do you any good at all. Wash your hands.
One
of my students just kept saying, "Wash your hands."
But what the mask will do mm-hmm. is it'll stop you from giving it to somebody else.
I don't really care about it. Once I got it, you know, I want to spread the love.
Well, the beauty of it is the people who think the masks at Home Depot uh-huh. are antiviral when they're designed for, like, plaster dust.
Yeah.
I think a virus is a little smaller than a particle of plaster dust. What do you think?
I'm certain that the masks that most people are wearing around probably don't. If it makes them feel better about it, that's good.
Well,
you know,
the real ones
fine.
Are, like, what I understand, they're all out at CVS and Walgreens and everything.
I'm sure they are.
By the way,
But like everybody in Chicago, I got a guy. I got a mask guy.
You got a guy. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, I sent you this thing from the New York Times, didn't I? I've been kind of going through this.
It depends on how you feel about me from day to day. I haven't seen anything from you in a little while.
This is the log graph about all the all the diseases known to man and how contagious they are and how deadly they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they got this thing somewhat anywhere in this huge mess here because they don't know.
Okay.
Right now they think fatality rate below 3%, number of transmissions per person between 1.5 and 3.5, maybe on the lower end now. They're thinking more it's like 1.5 to 2.
Okay. Which, so it's not, that won't be as exponential.
Well, measles, the average person infects 15 other people.
Mm-hmm.
Chickenpox, 8. Common cold, only 1.5, which I was surprised. Seasonal flu, only 1. Smallpox, like 5.
It's just 1 to 1 for seasonal. It seems like when one person in my household gets the seasonal flu, they spread it to 3 other people.
Okay, but what makes you think the person doesn't...
I guess it ends person. There. It ends there.
So man. How do you know who it was 1 to 1 to 1 to 1?
I have no idea.
But it's idea. I don't know how they. But anyway, swine flu is a little worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this thing? You know what the most deadly thing on here is, and I would never have guessed this because I can't remember what it was. What bird flu is more deadly than Ebola?
Really?
What kind of bird flu are they talking about?
I mean, what? There was a bird flu that came out of China. They always seem to come out of China.
Well, jump from what's well, because people are closer to the animals. They jump to. Yeah. Chicken, they had some. I hate to use the term idiot. Some guy. Now it's time for China to pass regulations that people shouldn't have open air markets. Pass regulations. What are you talking about?
They're gonna have regulations. They can't have open air food markets and
something like that with live animals and so forth.
Yeah, I mean that's what they're trying to trace it back to that, but. I do think the reality of this thing is this, that the Chinese version of the Center for Disease Control is in that city, and I think something got out.
Boy,
you know,
I've heard that from a bunch of people.
And I actually heard it from, I want to save their anonymity because they're monitoring us over in China right now. They're always monitoring our broadcast. But it was actually one of the students that's from there.
I've heard that
told
from
me that.
Multiple right-wing sources.
Right, hey now. So
just saying.
It could be, but it's interesting that's where it was. Have you been forced to go over to China and kind of wander around any type of market or anything?
No.
It's like a mosh pit.
Well, I can.
You know, if you're small enough, you can probably body surf from booth to booth because there's so many people there. The point is everybody's really in a tightly controlled area. So it's very possible that, you know, it got spread around by people being at that place, but it didn't originate out of the animals that they were eating.
The latest
there.
I heard now is first it was they immediately jumped to pigs.
Uh-huh.
Then they jumped to saying it jumped from a pig. Then I saw some nasty looking snake on my internet on Saturday that they were gonna, that maybe it came from a reptile.
It's bat soup.
Well, then the next one was get a load of this. What there's some animal over there, and I should have written this down, but I did not. It looks kind of like a cross between a ferret and a fox, big long tail.
Oh my gosh!
I've never seen one here, but I'm done to say we don't have them. That they've already killed like 2 or 3 million of these things, thinking that that's where it jumped from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's not a rodent, but it's, I don't know, what do you call the things here? I don't even know what it would be. It's not a possum. It's four legged. It looks like a little dog shaped raccoon, basically.
Like a raccoon without the stripes and maybe not as nasty.
Well, but he walks like a fox or a dog.
Okay.
A big furry. Anyway, so then they claim it, and to the point where they were killing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about it might have come from a bat.
From the bat soup.
Yeah.
Where you put the soup inside of you open up the bat and use that as a soup bowl.
Oh God!
Which, if you think about it, is very much of a green and sustainable thing to do.
The closest thing I'm ever going to get to China is egg foo young and fried rice.
You get down on Cermak. That's as close as you're going to get.
I love the places down there.
Yeah.
But we have our spots.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, get a load of this. I had an out trade at a Chinese place last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
An out trade at a Chinese place.
Yeah.
Last week.
My nephew and I went to the chiropractor.
Okay.
And so we were buying lunch for the office on the way home. So there's this really good place in Homer Glen right on Bell Road. So I kick up my phone, which I'm not very good at. So I hit the phone and I order up all this big lunch.
Uh-huh.
So I drop my nephew off. He walks out. He goes, "They don't have any order." Hey, what are you talking about? Turns out there's a place like right across the street. and I ordered from there instead.
I will guarantee that you are not the first person to do that.
Well, but I mean, I have an out
trade. I'm trying to make you feel better.
But I mean, having an out trade on lunch is bad.
I know.
So, of course, we walk over there, and he walks out some huge bag. This is the place Audrey told me was lousy. It was actually pretty good. Even though Audrey claims it was, you don't want to go there because they still use MSG. But whatever it was, you can imagine in this place it went down and everybody was happy. So
yeah,
we're not all that particular. But I mean, I'm saying I have an out trade at lunch. I hope my trading's better. Actually, trading was better. But,
you know, them internets are hard to manage, especially if you were trying to order and drive at the same time.
Well, I mean,
I know you would never do.
Oh, but I don't have any. I don't use this phone for anything like that. So this is like the first time I've even ordered from it. Because I'm happy with a Gibbs phone. I'm going to go back to the other one. I'm just happy. I'm in front of a computer 12 hours a day with 15 screens in front of me. Do I really need another screen next to me when I go somewhere else?
No. That's getting away from work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your buddies last night were Robert barely made it back from, he got back from China a week before this happened.
Who did?
Robert Stegerwald, my buddy. He was over there.
You said my buddy, and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I thought you met him.
Okay. I did meet him.
The guy from the Fed.
Yeah.
Well, he was over doing they had a big seminar regarding exchanges and their central banks. And I mean, you know, Robert's a brilliant dude. And you know, how settlements all work and those kinds of things. And, I mean, he's writing chapters in this book. And I go, who buys the book? The book's like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And who buys it? He goes, well, every university will have like one.
Yep. I go, and okay. I know I've really screwed up when I with the books that I've written. I need to write something that all the academics have to buy.
Yeah.
You know, even if I just get my 10% royalty, if it's, you know, $1,000 book, I can get $100 a book. You know, sell a few thousand of those and go back to flying private.
But you know what's weird though, Russell, and I'll talk out of school a little bit because I think Robert's one of the nicest men I've ever met. He, you know, at various levels of government, you see all the cheating that happens to people that are elected and all the crap that goes on in Chicago. He writes that chapter as a member of the Federal Reserve. He doesn't get a dime.
No.
You don't get any of that stuff.
Oh, man.
So what I'm saying
I mean,
actually, a lot of people in government, the rules are such that they don't steal. Well, and yet, all you hear about is the other guys, and yet 90% of the people that are honest as the day is long. Because I mean, I don't think the crop report gets out early
You don't think Eddie Murphy gets it on the orange level?
No,
I don't. I do think they're very secure.
I think an amazing amount of people in government, we get so jaundiced here in Chicago, actually do their job and do it. I mean, even here. You this morning, I mean, if I drop my truck off at my place on the south side, but he just retired. You know what? You get on the bus. The bus driver is pleasant. He does a nice job. He doesn't whack into anybody. If somebody gets on or handicapped, three people get up and help them on. I mean, it is amazing.
People in Chicago aren't so bad.
You know, it's amazing
really
what people.
Yeah.
When you talk about the CTA and a bunch of this, a bunch of that. Simple fact is, 95% of the employees show up, drive their bus, drive their train, are sober, do their job right, are pleasant. You know, I mean, you know, you got to be careful when you start bashing everybody, and once in a while you drop into that rut, but the fact is...
In general, people are fairly good and fairly helpful and fairly nice. You know, we try to be. It's unfortunately, I think it's human nature to allow that one negative thing that happens each day to absolutely crush your day.
Yeah, well...
You know, and you got to figure out how to focus on the nice stuff relative to the unnice stuff. I told my kids I try to do one nice thing a day, and I try to do it as early as possible so that I don't have to do any more. And every once in a while they'll ask me about it. So what was the nice thing you did today?
So, you want
to know what my nice thing was today?
Don't tell me help some lady with her dog.
No, I did not help some lady. Yesterday, actually, my nice thing was there was a guy with a cane, and we were in the cab line, and it was my turn, but the one that was coming up, like, was a van, which would have been easier for him to get in and out of. So I like, why don't you take that one? I think you'll manage easier there. But today's is, I actually found somebody's luggage tag. It was like a brand new luggage tag from Amtrak, somebody from St. Louis, and it apparently fell off their bag right outside the station. I am going to mail it back to them.
Really? Good for you.
Yes, I am. That's my nice thing today. So
I
hope that's still their address.
I'd love your opinion on my
What's your nice thing today? So you're trying to avoid
this. I'm still working
one.
On it.
Okay. You bought me coffee. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I went and picked up AV. Mm-hmm. And even though she was, you know, slightly sleepy, I didn't give her any grief about it.
Yep. Okay.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Do you have seat warmers?
No.
Okay, good. That'll keep her awake.
it does keep me awake. Slightly.
Crack the window every once in a while. Wake up!
Well, you know, she... I mean, as soon as I get up, I'm ready to talk, right?
Yep.
Which, of course, drives Audrey nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, she likes it if I get up and, like, go to the store, get the gas, come back, and maybe then I'm ready to talk to you type of thing.
You know what? The nice thing you do for Audrey is you talk for 2 hours here every morning.
Yes.
You get it out of your system.
That's the truth.
It's automatic, like, nice thing of the day.
I was saying, I'm getting there's... I don't... When things kind of go awry economically...
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, it happens. Fed does a little too much, does a little too little. You know, people raise taxes too much, maybe drop them too much or something. Whatever, there's mistakes. But it's okay. People make mistakes, and the idea is to keep your eye on it. And if you make mistakes, they call it a mid-course correction. I mean, nothing wrong with that. As my grandfather used to say, those who try and fail are better than those who never tried at all. I mean, that's the part of the human condition. You keep trying, you keep fixing, and if you screw up a couple times, the next time you make it good. I mean, that's right. I mean,
that's
the whole drill. I just get this incredible feeling, and you know what the weird part, Russell, is? I'm educated enough, and my eyes are open enough. I know I'm right. That we are reaching the stage where there's no mid-course correction possible in like the prescription drug industry. I mean, there really needs to be, and as you know, I'm not violent. There needs to be, what's his name? Shkreli, the guy they love to beat up on because he had this biggest smirk ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Martin.
Yeah, so they're gonna accuse the guy of antitrust violation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, someday, somewhere, and it'll never happen, you have to put an attorney general in there, and he grabs five guys out of the antitrust department, and he says, okay, I'll look at it. I want a list of 200 generic drugs from 2 years ago, or mm-hmm. 300 from 3 years ago, whatever it was, when Walmart used to sell them for $5 a prescription. I want to know what happened. Just take the top 300 companies. And maybe we'll do a random survey of those. We'll take 100. I want to know what happened to all these companies, and I want to know what the drug was and how much it's being charged for today as opposed to February 1st in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that report in a month and a half. And if it comes back that 25 of those were bought by the company that had the original drug or something, and the minute they did, that they raised the price by 400% or they did it over a few months so nobody noticed it,
mm-hmm.
except the poor guy buying it or lady, I want the SWAT teams. We're going to the next board meeting of that company, and we're taking the entire board out in handcuffs, and we're going to charge everybody with a felony. And the message needs to be delivered a lot different than it's being delivered.
Yeah.
And you know that I am not a law and order guy, but I'm also the son of an Irish cop, so there's a little bit in there too. But somewhere this message has got to be delivered. And one suing some guy who's already in jail doesn't do it. We need to bring this home to the people that, if you walk around right now, it is so endemic, Russell, that if you were to say, AV probably not, but if you were to say to Maddie Weber or anybody, you know, anyone of his ilk, they would look me in the eye and they'd say, what are you talking about? That's just good business. That's what you're supposed to do. No, it's not.
No, what he did was a big old negative.
No, but I'm saying,
say the least.
But every
but
single one.
Yeah, but all the other drugs. I mean, there is an issue with that. They keep trying to pass a bill around this.
They have one. It's called the Sherman Act.
Okay. Well, there's something that's specific to the drug industry.
Well, that's what I'm...
And, you know, our current president actually has pushed through transparent hospital pricing.
Which is, again...
Which will not kick in, I think, until 2021.
And the fine is $300.
Yeah.
Well, my point is that that's exactly what I'm saying. It's not time to talk at the State of the Union about a bill next year that you're going to sign a year from now to maybe that goes into. I'm saying the carnage on the American public is by the hour, by the minute. It's mm-hmm. way too late for that. You need to stop it immediately. And there's a zillion bills on the wall. Pick one.
Do something. Well. You know, nothing's going to get done after you saw the animosity last night.
Okay, but what I'm saying...
And is anybody campaigning on what you're talking about?
No.
I mean, that's really where it starts, because getting somebody to...
You cannot go up against these firms.
Yeah.
And as much as Trump...
You know who could go up against these firms?
Who?
Trump can.
But he did.
But you know who else can? Bloomberg.
But Trump...
I'm not saying he's going to, but,
Trump,
you know...
Trump showed
but
up...
Then the problem is you've got a really rich guy in there that's not beholden to anybody. And those are the two guys that we have there right now. But you still have 535 or whatever other people who are pretty wealthy, but not, you know, but are beholden. And you got to get things through those guys.
But
that's where it becomes the real problem.
How do we get... I love it if people tweet in or whatever you want, or somebody wants to call in, please do. How do we get the... And I said, I actually got some real nasty emails one day.
Wow. You're a big old teddy bear.
Well, no, I was out on a limb. I said, if you want something done, there needs to be a regular guy, Stocks and Jocks, something lobby for you to sit on your fat ass on the sofa thinking that somehow or another this politician should just know what you think and do the right thing. You're out of your friggin' mind. When somebody shoves $1,000 in Dick Durbin's left pocket, we got to be right behind him shoving $1,000 in his right pocket and say, don't do that. That unfortunately, what we just said, we have become so immune. The guy who's sitting in the Senate or in the House of Representatives has to feel at least as beholding to the 75-year-old lady that just got the 20% increase in her tabs mm-hmm. as he does to Merck or Pfizer. And right now he doesn't. Because those guys have been paying him and his ilk forever. Now the only way other than shooting somebody, which I would never do, or arresting him, which I would love to do, other than doing that, we have to have a lobby just as big and as strong as those guys. And the weird part of what white people, and I'll say that, well, not just anybody who's middle class or above that has somehow been beaten up about how unions are all bad, right? I'm not talking about, you know, municipal unions, which I have my issues with as do most. But regular
traditional labor unions. Yeah.
You're not going to get me to argue that they didn't become too bureaucratic and became what they detest a little bit. But they, not maybe because they wanted to, their stuff in Washington lined up almost exactly with the middle class. And now that mm-hmm. they're essentially gone, middle class has nobody. And we better get somebody or we're going to be, and history's going to write middle class, something that happened in the U.S. between 1950 and 1990 and has never been seen or heard from before or since. I mean, if we don't find a way to influence these people against, so you think Dick Durbin cares as much about when he's getting a check from Pfizer and Forest Labs and all the rest he's playing in? So somehow we have to turn that bus around. And I'm just saying economically, we either got to find a way to buy them off as much as those guys or something. And the last time I said that, people were saying, why should we send $500 to somebody? They should just do this. They don't.
Yeah. The real key to all that is term limits.
I don't buy
it. It is.
Why?
They
just buy the next guy.
But basically the buying really comes down to contributing them so they can keep getting reelected. And if they're only focused at the task at hand as opposed to, you know, getting reelected or maybe what their next job's going to be, they're probably going to be more inclined to do what is right.
What makes you think? I went to matter of fact, I got another thing in the mail yesterday and I tossed it from APEC. Have you ever gone to one of those things?
American
Israeli public
no.
Well, those guys are serious lobbyists.
Yeah.
Serious lobbyists.
Yeah.
And they will tell you that if you start talking about term limits, you're out of your mind. Because the turnover in the House is more than it's ever been.
Yeah, but... And that makes it even worse, because then there's like 2-3 dozen of them that have all the power, have all the money, and run the things.
What makes you think...
You know, you don't even... If you're a drug company, you don't even have to give money to the first-term people. You really only
have
to go after...
That's
really
my
just
point.
Have to go after
That's
the leadership.
That's my point. If you boot your guy out in your area or your lady and you run, I guarantee you the first check in your pocket is going to be from Merck or Pfizer, one of those places. Just like it would be from APAC. They know you're running. They know you're going to win. They get at you before you even get in. When you're most vulnerable, when you need the money.
Well, once you get in and you've got the money from them and you're not worried about staying in, you can do whatever you want.
Well, okay,
you can. Well, you can. I'm telling you, if your job is to do your job and be a representative, as opposed to
all right, so the last
constantly being campaigning, you're gonna do more of the right thing.
Okay, so let's discuss this after the break. So I took checks from you for four terms. Now the fifth term, I've got to leave. Go pound sand, and I won't take your check. S&P futures up 28. Yeah. NASDAQ futures up 102. We'll be right back and argue some more after the break.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net. Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Dr. Jack. I'm Tom Holly's Mr. Russell Rhodes, AV on the board. SP futures up 28 now. NASDAQ futures up 102. Evidently, I just got a tweet from our buddy Dr. J regarding this UK guy who claims he can have a what do you call it, a not a cure, but a vaccine in like, what, a couple of months, Russell, or something?
Yep.
Whether or not that's true or not, but that's making the rounds today. Individual stocks. Hey, Apple's up again, $4. We've got Microsoft up again, the closet. I mean, they're up another $4. They go up every day. There's a stock that was, was $35 for what, 5 years, and now it goes
now
up $4 a day.
Now they've resumed their growth. Yeah. You know, if the stock market keeps going up 1% a day, it'll be this S&P will be at 33,000 by the end of the year.
Well, that's if we keep pouring money in, why not?
Why not?
Yep. You know how much the Venezuelan stock market was up last year?
In local dollars or U.S. dollars?
Local dollars.
Yeah.
200,000%.
So that was like a half a percent in U.S. dollars?
It was down in U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, Weimar Republic stock market went way up, too.
Yeah.
Just saying. Dow futures up.
So did the price of bread.
Yeah. Dow futures up 260. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 185, 1.4%. FTSE up 49.6%. CAC around up 59. That's a whole 1%. Over in Asia, one market that has not come back that much is the Shanghai. It's up 34, so they're up 40% of what they were down on Monday. So we're gaining on it some, but Nikkei up 234, 1%. Hang Seng up 110, 0.4%. Bonds are getting clobbered a little bit, which means the rates are going back up. U.S. 10-year 165, it got down, I don't think it got below 1.5, did it? It was like 1.52, something like that?
It bordered on it.
Yeah, bordered on it. The Bund minus 0.36. That's heading back towards zero again. Same thing with the Japan, minus 0.02.
Oh.
That got above by just a hair, mm-hmm. and it was back down to 0.5, and now it's going back up again. And we have oil. It's up $1.44, but be careful. We're only at 51.05 because it was down yesterday during the day. Oil is just, Natural gas, 184. RBOB gas, 147. Gold is actually up 80 cents today, 1556. So despite the real rallies in the market the last few days, gold is down some, but it's not not going to pre-panic mode, pre-crisis mode. Silver up 2 cents, 1758. We're actually getting a little bit of move out of copper the last few days. It's back up to 258. It got down, I think it got below 250, Russell. So that's usually a... I mean, 258
means... That's the leading indicator right there.
Yeah, but if that starts going back to $3, people have a view that China's doing a little better. As of now, not so much. AB, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning. 7:37 in Chicago. 29 degrees currently. Overcast skies will stay throughout the day. We're expecting snow starting this afternoon around 3 p.m. and it will intensify through the evening and continue overnight. Snow accumulating 3 up to 5 inches. The temperature will stay steady, 30 degrees during the day, and will drop to 28 at night. 36 degrees in Phoenix this morning, mix of clouds and sun during the day. Towards the night, the skies should clear out. Light winds variable at night. The high is 57 and the low is 36 in Phoenix. No accidents informed at this moment, but definitely the traffic is getting busier. If you're heading east through Eisenhower, be ready for delays up to 10 minutes, especially from Wedgewood to Central Avenue, and then it's picking up at Sacramento all the way to Kennedy at Bernie Interchange. Also, expected traffic delays on Adams West Expressway from Randolph down to 31st Street. Due to the road constructions, Stevenson North from South Central Avenue to South Pulaski. Kennedy Expressway is getting tight both east and west direction, especially from Randolph to Division. And then it's exceeding at West Fullerton up to North Harlem on Adams. Lakeshore Drive looks like it's getting a volume. So be ready for delays if you're heading south, especially from Montrose to Eugene Street. And, of course, for sports, we got Blackhawks that lost to Minnesota. 2-3. Guys?
There you go. So,
sports ball.
We just had the, what is a huge number? ADP number came out. 291, Russell. It's the biggest gain since May of 2015, which is somewhat unusual for a January.
I know. Yeah. America is once again great again.
Yeah, we've made America great again.
So we have.
The jobs are definitely picking up in some areas. And leisure and hospitality led with 96,000. Health, education and health services.
Are all those leisure and hospitality jobs going to Trump properties?
that I don't know. Education and health services, 70,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Professional and business services.
I got to ask for a raise over at Loyola, huh?
Yeah, I don't...
I know exactly what the response would be to that.
But and the construction is up 47,000. This is in a month. Why, how does January get to be this... It seems a little weird, doesn't it? But this is ADP, though. I mean, they actually make the payroll check, so I don't see how they could be... Unless they're doing some dastardly stuff, so how could they be cooking the numbers?
You know, I think that the people that use ADP kind of skews to the bigger companies. So, you know, small bit, I think that's where the disconnect comes out sometimes when you see the Friday number versus the Wednesday number. Hey, is this Friday the first time we're going to get an employment number and they're not going to give it to the reporters early?
I don't know if that's starting Friday, but that is the...
Yeah, I got to find out when that is. I got all the data of the volatility around the numbers for the S&P and 10-year futures, and I want to see how the first time out is, if it's different, the same, if it even matters. Who knows?
Somebody was trading before the number that wasn't supposed to be. It should only be the right people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It should only be the family.
Or the people that write the checks to the lobbyists.
That's right. It should only be the right people. I mean,
the reporters should not get those numbers early. Well, it'll be interesting to see if there's more volatility.
Well, I used to run all this stuff off and keep it, and the place got such a mess. There was a study by these guys in, I think they were in Hong Kong, about front running the numbers in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
This is when the thing all started with Janet Yellen. So I'm going to say 3-4 years ago, because Pedro de Costa is still a contributor to the show, comes on once in a while. Terrific guy. He was with the Wall Street Journal at the time. And he was one of the guys that was in the meetings, you know, where you the news conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day he asked Janet the status of the investigation, the front running. She was visibly upset. He was never asked back, and the Wall Street Journal basically kowtowed to the Fed because they wanted somebody in there.
Yeah. Right?
Because if you ask the wrong question, they're not shy about telling you, don't ever send that guy again. Now, you would think that the newspaper, if they had any stones, they would say, look, he's already asked questions, you don't answer them, that's your problem. But that's not, the fake news is, you know, the intimidated news is more than the fake news.
To go along, you got to get along, or to get along, you go along, or whatever.
But I mean, this was...
For access, they got to play along a little bit.
But the point being is there was an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And after like months, he just said, where's the investigation?
Yeah.
And it never did come out. If it was published, I missed it. But the story of the guys from Hong Kong was that virtually every one of the Fed announcements or Fed speeches were front run. Virtually everyone. And the Fed governor that's going to, everybody thought was dovish to turn hawkish, that gives it something at 3 a.m. that somebody traded before
somebody
he said
something. Somebody was ahead of it.
Somebody's ahead of it. And the treasurer or the Fed, of course, didn't like that at all. The same people said that they asked them about the labor numbers, and they said they found no evidence that those were front run, which is interesting. So now Trump comes out and says
I don't think he's changing those rules to because of front running. Do you?
He changed rules because somebody must have front run other than his kid.
Oh my God!
Just saying, you know.
I don't know about that.
The reason why I say that is I actually have a reason for it. It's not just open up my flap here.
Uh huh.
There I was years and years ago when your buddy Schultz was the Secretary of the Treasury.
Okay.
And I was heading down south because I used to take my mom to breakfast, and it's one of these 6:30 a.m. things on a Saturday. It wasn't Meet the Press or one of those. It was some other interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy gets him on there, and he must have thought, like, nobody's listening anyway, you know, like in the movie.
Yeah.
The guy says to him, Secretary, I always wanted to ask this question. When you became Secretary, I understand that if a labor number or something comes out, the president can't be walking to the helicopter and you surprise him a minute after the number comes out and he doesn't know what it is.
I know the president knows it. Clinton slipped and said something about the number once.
So did Trump.
So, and I think each of them have.
Yeah, each of them have done
it. I actually think we could probably pin that one on all like the last four or five of them. So I think maybe, especially if they don't have an awareness of how important that is to the financial markets, they will learn it if they accidentally say something about it.
Well, I think he was walking through the helicopter the night before and he said something like, "You'll see tomorrow how good the number is," or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't give you the number, but my point is, he says, "Funny you should mention that. I asked that question when I became Secretary of the Treasury," or whatever. Mm-hmm. He goes, "I get this list of people to get the number beforehand." He goes, "There's this big list." And I'm like, "Who the hell are all these guys?" He says, so I looked at him, I go, "These guys don't deserve to be on here." So I start pulling people off. Guess what he says? He goes, "The hardest thing I've ever done in government is pull people off that list, and finally I gave up." Now, here's a guy that's well-respected by everybody. I'm just telling you what, but I'm just not naive enough to think that that has changed since then. That there's a list of people who get this number beforehand, and I think half the people on the list probably can't be trusted.
How do we get on the list?
Well, that's the other point. How do we get on? You know, I'll tell you this, though, Russell.
How do we get on the list? I want to be on the list.
You're a big shot academic, and you know all this stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't know anybody growing up.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that if you give me the labor numbers 10 minutes before, I don't think I can make a dime on those.
It would. You know what? I think you could, but maybe only once or twice a year out of the 12 labor numbers.
How do you know what other people...
And I say that because you would really only, if it's a real outlier, if it's one of those big outlier numbers, you know what I mean? What did you say? ADP was just 290?
Yeah.
If somebody gave you the Friday number, and I'll say this is a hypothetical like 15 times so nobody thinks that I'm throwing something out there on Friday. But let's say that that's what the street's looking for as well. If you see the number ahead of time and it's not 290, it's 100. And in addition, you see that both December and November are revised downward, you are going to buy the crap out of bonds because rates are going to tank.
Well, yeah, you're going to get...
But typically, if it's going to be within kind of a range, and we're going to have somewhat of a muted response, or you're really not sure how they might take that, they being the people that try to trade the number, you wouldn't do that. I mean, you can say the same thing with most earnings numbers for stocks. Unless it's going to be a huge outlier number compared to history and what everybody's expecting, the reaction's going to be very difficult to gauge.
Well, the labor number, I have a problem with that one, because if it comes out crummy, immediately the clamor could be, now that means the Fed can even pour more money at the system, which means the market can actually go up.
Right.
Because right now the market could care less what the labor number
and
is.
And I actually would be more likely to try and trade the bonds over the stocks if I had an economic number.
Well, but I'll tell you this.
I think that's an easier one to guess.
Give me a Fed announcement or what's in a serious speech 10 minutes before, I'll make money every time. Not every time. If it's a change in policy of some kind.
If you can compare it to the previous speech.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Bloomberg does that for you. They'll highlight changes in language and stuff like that.
Nice? But I'm saying nice. That's the
so
valuable
somebody,
stuff.
Somebody's actually doing that beforehand. You think they're trading it as well?
You think?
Or their cousin or their...
Could you not?
Yeah. A little word of advice here. If you pass something on like that, make sure you're not Facebook friends.
You know, the reason why, I mean, everybody sit there and we're listening to these two guys gripe about it. Every single time, and I spent 20 years on a trading floor, and everybody will tell you in every pit they were in, if you see some guy hustling in there, buying calls or buying puts, you didn't have to have a TV. You didn't have to have a news feed. You knew that something was out
something
there someplace. So, I mean, so it's not like people don't, whenever they get a piece of information, run and try and get ahead of the other guy who hasn't got it yet. I mean, that's part of it's part of the game, but there's also, I mean, if you get up and read the newspaper and the other guy doesn't, well, you know, I guess you got, you know, your thing. I mean, there are people that, you know, on the back page of the Wall Street Journal, somebody was talking about he was supposedly front running someplace. That's when I first started on the floor. And a back page of the Wall Street Journal was like, XYZ Corp loses contract with YYZ. So the guy kicks up. It turns out there was their biggest client.
Yeah.
The guy comes in. He buys all these puts in the morning. By the time this little article made the rounds, and he didn't front run. It was in the paper. He just read it. Nobody else did. Right? So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But now when you start talking about government numbers, now that's a horse of a different color, as they say.
Yeah.
And those are, but I think the Fed is the most guilty, But the thing of it is, the Fed wants to be guilty. That's the whole point of it. If they want
to be guilty?
The whole idea is, if they want to inject money into the system, okay? Now, to do that, I'm going to say properly, maybe you need $20 billion. Pick a number.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if I loudly call Goldman Sachs and the other primary dealers and say, I'm going to be a buyer today, all right? Those guys have no shame about front-running you, right?
You think?
I
don't know.
So, but the point being, if they can get to the same place with $1 billion, they think they're doing their job. The fact that Goldman made the money on the way up instead of them, they're part of the same team in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, if you're going to try and move the markets as the Fed, you want people to get ahead of it, and you want to be the minimal part of it, right?
Right.
Now, that's perfectly good for Goldman Sachs, and it's not so good for the first person they trade with. But do you think the Fed cares about that?
No, I don't think the Fed
I don't think they care at all. No, so instead of them, why would you keep essentially a policy-changing thing quiet, right? You want it to be loud.
You want it to impact the markets.
Right.
Yeah. And you're not really overly concerned with how it goes about.
How it goes about doing them. Yeah. You don't want to have to spend all the dough. But if you come out and, when they use for currencies, Fed is going to protect the dollar today. Well, they'd rather have the dollar run up without them spending a dime, right?
They'd rather jawbone it.
Yeah, jawbone it up.
Yeah.
Now, the person who has that piece of information, you know, that if they gave the information to you and me, and we're sitting here at PTI, and we go, holy bleep, Batman, and we run out and buy the dollar index, or if we were real big, we actually went out on the open market and bought dollars, euro dollars, and we had a big stash of euro dollars, do you think that's how they want it to happen? It's not, I mean, right? The fact that we get the advantage, they don't care. We're in the group. We're in the in crowd.
Somebody's got to know first,
right? Somebody's got to know first,
yeah.
And they make sure that the right people know first. But do you honestly think that the Fed wants to quietly go out and spend all their money on dollars that day?
No, they want. I mean, I think it's pretty logical that if they're trying to shift something in the markets, that they would like to do it at the lowest expense possible
and the biggest noise.
Yeah.
And if that means somebody gets ahead of it, that's how it happens.
Yeah, and you know, that, I mean, basically, that's why you should fade those moves all the time.
Well, one other time, yeah. You get a little of this. So this is the stuff that's happened. It gets me in my grumpy mood about this stuff. Back when I was still on the board, so this was 1998. The Yankees, I think the Yankees were in a World Series. Imagine that. And so they fly me out to. This was right at the tail end of the. With the Russian, what was the long-term capital in Russia? The 98, that financial crisis, one of them?
Yeah. The 98 was the Russian debt, and all the spreads widened out, and it hurt long-term capital.
Well, so I go out there, and it's, you know, there's the people at the CBO, there's Duke and Bill Flourish, and we're hobnobbing with the guys, the whatever big committee it was, from all the different firms. And this is the night that Moose Skowron was out there. We flew Moose Skowron out there.
I love Moose Skowron.
Oh, yeah. He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah. We don't have time. I got a fun Moose Skowron story.
Well, what a big, strong guy at age 70-something.
Oh, God. I was taking batting practice at spring training. And he was this is a true story. And I was stepping out of the box whenever the ball would, you know, when they pitch. I wasn't stepping into the pitch. And he used a phrase. He told me to get something in there and be a man and hit the ball.
Yeah.
Keep that pair in there and hit the damn ball.
Yeah.
So I've been heckled by Moose Skowron.
What they did on an expiration Friday in the OEX. Well, OEX was the big dog at the time. Expiration Friday about 10 o'clock, the Fed dropped the discount rate or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, the federal funds rate. So the market runs like a scalded cat to the upside. And some of my new friends in the OEX that got carried out.
Their faces ripped off.
Oh, yeah. So this is the next, like, Tuesday I'm out in. And so one of the guys says to me, well, I was asked by the Fed knowing you guys were coming out here. And the OEX at the time was bigger than any other exchange.
Yeah. No, it had a dramatic impact on what happened in 87.
Yeah.
It was a bit, I mean, it was an influential market.
So he says to me, the Fed wanted to know how many people got hurt in the exchange floor, because what the Fed did is they told some of the people that had gotten their ass kicked in the long-term capital fiasco, they told them they were going to drop the thing and to basically recapitalize themselves. In other words, to actually front run. And this guy wanted to know how many people got hurt by them essentially, you know, it was sort of like in Casablanca where he says bet the number, and then the guy gets the money to get the airfare to Lisbon.
Yeah.
They basically let those guys have a chunk of their money back on everybody else.
Yeah.
And they're not above this.
Did they want to know so they could write checks to those poor guys?
Oh no! I just want to know how bad it was. I said, "Well, I lost
going to work at."
I said, "So a few friends of mine will never be in the pit again."
Yeah,
and they're going, "Oh yeah, well, we heard there were some horror stories, but if it was only a few, I guess it's okay. Only a few, you know." But I mean, but then, because then you ask yourself, okay, if long term capital and these people are so broke on Thursday, how is it not even a story the next week? So I'm not saying they floated them enough to get all their money back.
Right.
But they floated them enough to where, you know, maybe the margin interest they owed, you know,
they
some
could keep
bank,
going.
Well, then maybe the margin interest they owed J.P. Morgan might have been $1 billion. Well, maybe they were down $5 billion and they made $1.5 billion back. So at least they could pay off, quote, the system, or something like that. It was like when they gave in 2008, they gave a Goldman Sachs or AIG the money to pay Goldman Sachs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not like. There's not a history to people in government doing things like this with other people's money, because they think they're doing it for the common good, right? And maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe we're better off them doing that, and my few friends in EOEX, you know, out of business, and who knows? Maybe they, but then having to have long term capital still be, you know, sucking the world up for 2 years later. I mean, I don't know, but it seems wrong to me. Let's just say that.
If that was the case, it probably was not on the up and up. How's that?
But in their mind, we solved the problem, right?
I'm trying. Well, we survived.
Yeah,
they bring it. We get through everything.
Well, yeah, and then how many people were in the last? 2008 was very unusual. I don't think they had a clue how bad it was. For the people that were there, and only after two people went under did they say, we got to save the next guys.
Yeah. Well, they kind of saved Bear. They let Lehman go because nobody liked Lehman. They let Bear go because nobody really liked Bear Stearns, unfortunately.
Well, wasn't there some big issue a few years before that Bear refused to help on?
This is in I'm going to go quick In Wall Street 2, at the very beginning, the firm that the guy jumps in front of the train is actually supposed to represent Bear Stearns, and they say something about that firm not playing ball. It's something in the past.
Yeah.
And it was a reference to, apparently, Bear Stearns didn't step up and help out with long-term capital like everybody else did.
Maybe that was it.
So
yeah.
That's the street rumor that I've heard around that one. So when it came down to Bear Stearns looked like they were in a little bit of trouble, everybody just piled on.
Yeah.
Some of the big hedge funds started pulling their capital from the prime brokerage unit. And they were, you know, it's like they were teetering on the edge, and instead of reaching out and pulling them back onto the balcony, they just they gave them a little nudge, and that's what happened to Bear Stearns.
Well, the hand came out.
So, I mean, that is the feeling there.
They thought the hand was going to pull them back in, and in fact, the hand was a shove.
Yeah. So, I want to make a statement right now.
Uh-oh.
We'll see if this comes across correctly. There.
There you go.
That's what I think of today's program.
Yeah. Rip that up.
There, I'm ripping it up.
Yes.
There you go.
You and Nancy.
Look at how brave I am.
Well, she'd already heard it.
I know. So. Yeah, I was done with it. I don't need this. So I just saw that, going viral on the Twitter on the interwebs this morning. I could care less either way.
Do you think that was the real speech? I mean, obviously, the significance of it was, do you think it really was the speech? She's sitting there looking at it?
I was just impressed she was able to rip it in half.
I don't think. I bet it was just.
I wonder if that was a struggle for her or not, or if she just did one page of a multi-page thing.
No, you used to run around and do that with Yellow Pages, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I'm gonna rip this thing. What are Yellow Pages?
What are Yellow Pages?
Do you know what Yellow Pages are there in the other room?
Maybe.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought. The boy, talking about.
I know what is the green pages.
Oh, what are the green pages?
Green leaves. What are we talking about here?
Talking the about yellow the pages are the business phone money. Book. The white money pages talks. Were the people.
Yeah, the people. Oh.
Wait, so what are the yellow pages?
Yellow pages were the phone book for businesses.
Yes. Mm. So if you want to look up restaurants, you went to our right. yellow pages and 4,000 restaurants. Start looking through it.
And then you could buy ads in the yellow pages so that those of us that can't read small print anymore would only be able to go there for the early bird special.
Where right. would I get it?
It would deliver to your house.
Yeah.
Everybody got one.
It would show up on your doorstep once a year. Hell, I used to deliver those things.
I'll bet we got one in
I
here
can
somewhere.
Google it.
I'll dig around and see if I can show you one. Anyway, SP Futures up 28. Nasdaq Futures up 104. Another big day to the upside. We'll see if it lasts or how long it lasts. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.